ಓಂ ಸದಾಶಿವ ಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಸದ್ಗುರು ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಸೂತ್ರಾಸ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 3 ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಪಾದಂ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಅಧಿಕರಣ ತದಂತರ ಪ್ರತಿಪತ್ಯಾಧಿಕರಣ ತದಂತರ ಪ್ರತಿಪತ್ತೌ ರಂಹತಿ ಸಂಪರಿಷ್ವಕ್ತಃ ಪ್ರಶ್ನೆ ನಿರೂಪಣಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ತ್ರಯಾತ್ಮಕತ್ವಾತ್ತು ಭೂಯಸ್ತ್ವಾತ್ ಪ್ರಾಣಗತೇಶ್ಚ ಅಗ್ನಿಯಾತಿ ಗತಿಶ್ರುತೇರಿತಿ ಚೇತ್ ನ ಭಾಕ್ತತ್ವಾತ್ ಪ್ರಥಮೇ ಅಶ್ರವಣಾದಿತಿ ಚೇತ್ ನ ತಾ ಏವ ಹಿ ಉಪಪತ್ತೇಃ ಅಶ್ರುತ್ವಾದಿತಿ ಚೇತ್ ನ ಇಷ್ಟಾಧಿಕಾರಿಣಾಂ ಪ್ರತೀತೇಃ ಭಾಕ್ತಂ ವಾಂ ಅನಾತ್ಮವಿತ್ವಾತ್ ತಥಾ ಹಿ ದರ್ಶಯತಿ. ಕೃತಾತ್ಯಯಾಧಿಕರಣ ಕೃತಾತ್ಯಯೇ ಅನುಷಯವಾನ್ ದೃಷ್ಟಸ್ಮೃತಿಭ್ಯಾಂ ಯಥೇತಂ ಅನೇವಂಚ ಚರಣಾದಿತಿ ಚೇತ್ ನ ಉಪಲಕ್ಷಣಾರ್ಥೇತಿ ಕಾರ್ಷ್ಣಾಜಿನಿಹಿ ಆನರ್ಥಕ್ಯಂ ಇತಿ ಚೇತ್ ನ ತತ್ ಅಪೇಕ್ಷತ್ವಾತ್ ಸುಕೃತ ದುಷ್ಕೃತ ಏವ ಇತಿ ತು ಬಾದರಿಹಿ. ಈ ಸಾಮ್ ಅಪ್ ಟು ದಿ 11th ಸೂತ್ರ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದಿ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಸೂತ್ರ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಅಧಿಕರಣಂ ಅನಿಷ್ಟಾಧಿಕಾರ್ಯಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ಅನಿಷ್ಟಾಧಿಕಾರಿಣಾಂ ಅಪಿ ಚ ಶ್ರುತಂ. ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ದ 303rd ರನ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಸೂತ್ರ 3rd ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಪಾದ 12th ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಸೂತ್ರ. ಹಿಯರ್ ದಿ ಮೂಮೆಂಟ್ of jivas doing evil karmas, papa karmas, that is now described. And we saw the 12th sutra in the last class, this sutra, anishtadhikarinam apicha shrutam. This sutra we saw in the last class, which is a purupakshi sutra, as I mentioned. And this says, for those papa karmis, papishtas, for them also, ಪಂಚಾಗ್ನಿ ದ್ವಾರ ಹೆವನ್ ಟ್ರಾವೆಲ್ ಈಸ್ ಅಕ್ಸೆಪ್ಟೆಡ್. ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಪುಣ್ಯಕರ್ಮೀಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಗೋ ಟು ಹೆವನ್, ಬಟ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಪಾಪಕರ್ಮೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಮೇ ಗೋ ಟು ಹೆವನ್. ನೌ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಸೂತ್ರ ದಟ್ ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ರೀಡ್ ಟುಡೇ. ಸಂಯಮನೆ ತ್ವನುಭೂಯ ಇತರೇಷಾಂ ಆರೋಹ ಅವರೋಹೌ ತದ್ಗತಿ ದರ್ಶನಾತ್. ಸಂಯಮನೆ ತ್ವನುಭೂಯ ಇತರೇಷಾಂ ಆರೋಹ ಅವರೋಹೌ ತದ್ಗತಿ ದರ್ಶನಾತ್. 13th ಸೂತ್ರ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಪಾದ 3rd ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 304th ರನ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಸೂತ್ರ. ಹಿಯರ್ ಅಗೇನ್ ದ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರಿಪ್ಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಮೂವ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಎ ಜೀವಾ ಹೂ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಡನ್ ಈವಿಲ್ ಡೀಡ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂಡ್. ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸೂತ್ರ ಅಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಸೂತ್ರ ರೆಫ್ಯೂಟ್ಸ್ ದ ವ್ಯೂಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಪ್ರೀವಿಯಸ್ ಮಂತ್ರ ವಿಚ್ ವಾಸ್ ಅ ಪೂರ್ವಪಕ್ಷಿ ಸೂತ್ರ. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಎ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸೂತ್ರ. And let us do first the general analysis of this sutra. The Panjagni route that will not be taken by those upasakas who will take Krishna Gati. That is not discussed in this adhikaranam though. The other group of people who will not take Krishna Gati are papakarmis. So the route they take is that they go to Yamaloka and they suffer there. And again, they come back without going through Panjagni route. So the pramanam for this is given in Kathopanishad in the first chapter, second section, sixth mantra that we already discussed in the previous sutra. And just to refresh, the sutra, the mantra was, Na samparayaha prathibhadi balam pramadhyantam vitta mohena modham ayam loko nasti parayiti mani punapunaha vashamapadyate me. So different lokas are there for different people. This is the essence of this sutra. Because different people do different karmas. Now let us do the word analysis. The sutra is samyamane tvanubhuya itaresham aroha avarohau tadgati darshanat. That is the sutra. Here anubhuyaha tu. Having experienced the karma phalam, mainly papa phalam, samyamane refers to yamaloka, in Yamaloka, they come down. Aroha, avaroha. The path of departure is aroha, and the path of arrival back here is avaroha. So the path of departure and arrival, that is different. Itaresham for the others. Tadgati darshanat. Since Shruti reveals that travel towards Yamaloka, this is the running meaning for this sutra. Now we have to see the significance of the words to understand the exact meaning. Samyamane. Samyamane means the different kinds of Yamalokas coming under Yamadharma Raja. All are called Samyam. Giving punishment by the Lord of Death punishes arrogant jivas. Two, that means to negate the Purvapakshi. However, to negate the Purvapakshi, Anubhuya. In that loka, they experience their papa palam by going through different forms of suffering, and then they come down. Aroha avaroha. They have different path of climbing. This is the destination is Yamaloka, not Swargaloka. Here Yamaloka. And Panjagni is not involved here, and they will not go to Swarga. In Swargaloka, it is in Panjagni route. But here it is different. Tad gati darshanat. Yamaloka, that is seen in the Upanishad. Darshanat, that is revealed in the Upanishad. Let us go to the next sutra. So Papa Karmi is what happens to them. Next sutra is Smaranticha. Smaranticha, 14th sutra, first pada, third chapter, 300 sutra, Nirani Brahma Sutra. And the description of the journey of the jivas doing evil deeds is continued again here. Here Vyasacharya wants to show that Papa Karmis will go to Narakaloka. They go to Narakaloka alone, not to Swargaloka. Because Purvapakshi said they will also go to Swargaloka. Here no, he said Narakaloka they will go. Here Smriti and Purana Pramanam, they both are given. And all Pramanas, they tell us that Papa Karmis will go to Yamaloka only. Smaranti, the Smriti, all those Pramanas, those Granthas, they all say they will go to Yamaloka only. Now let us do the word analysis. Simple sutra, Smaranti cha. The Shrutis also reveal this fact. Shrutis includes Smritis, Puranas and all. This is the running meaning. And Smaranti is actually an idiom used to say Rishis remember. They remember. So here remembrance is written in the form of Smritik Granthas. And they declare the fact that all Jivas, they will not go to Swargalokas, but some of them go to Yamaloka due to Papa Karma. That is substance of that. And then they are now going to tell about what are the different, lower lokas. Next sutra says that, Apicha Saptha. Apicha Saptha. 15th sutra, first pada, third chapter, 306th running Brahma Sutra. Here Vyasacharya gives Purana Pramana. Pramanam from the Puranas. This is said in various Puranas. In Puranas, seven Patala Lokas are significantly said. Actually, they say 21 also. But in Puranas, seven of them are very popular. Sapta Patala Lokas are well known to us. Athala, Vithala, Suthala, Thalathala, Mahathala, Rasathala, Patala Lokas. These are the seven Lokas. Apicha. Apicha means moreover. Sapta. Sapta means seven lower Lokas are mentioned in the Puranas. Now let us see the significance of this word. Apicha means moreover, that is the conjunction of Purana Pramana. The conjunction of the Purana Pramanam to indicate that they put Apicha. Sapta Patala Lokas, that are the various Lokas, Patala Lokas, here seven Lokas. So they will all go to in those places, various places, in the Patala Lokas. With this, the 15th sutra is over. Now let us go to the next sutra. These are all descriptive sutras, so I'm not spending too much time to analyze them. The next one, Tatrapicha Tadvyaparate Avirodaha. 16th Sutra, first pada, third chapter, 307th running Brahma Sutra, Tatrapicha Tadvyaparate Avirodaha. The same topic again continues in this sutra, and this sutra answers a small incidental question based on the previous sutra. In the previous sutra, what was said? It was said that the adharmic people, papishtas, they will go to Yamaloka. And there are several lokas actually. In the Puranas, they are not called Yamalokas. When we look into Puranas, the lower lokas, Atala, Vithala, all the slokas, they are presided by other devatas. and not by Yamadharmaraja himself. Actually, Chitragupta is the one who presides over all these lower lokas. Then how can we tally the other lokas with Yamaloka then? For that, Vyasacharya says, all the presiding deities of the lower lokas mentioned in the Puranas, they function under Yamadharmaraja only. He is their boss. So therefore, whatever Chitragupta rules, whatever loka Chitragupta rules, it is the rule of Yamadharmaraja only, because he is his boss. Therefore, Patala lokas are indirectly presided over by Yamadharmaraja. And so that is why it is included in the same list. Now let us do the word analysis. First, let us do the running meaning. Since Yamadharmaraja's influence is accepted in those lokas also, avirodaha, there is no contradiction. Now let us see the significance of the words. Tatra. Tatra means in those lokas, that is in the Sapta lokas mentioned in the previous sutras, all those Patala lokas and all. He has his assistant, who? Yamadharmaraja. He has his assistant there to take care of all other lokas. Tad vyaparat. So Yamadharmaraja influences or functions in this way. So in this context, we take the meaning of influence or power, even though directly Chitragupta controls the seven lokas. This is the influence of Yamadharma, under the influence of Yamadharmaraja. So the ultimate control is with Yamadharmaraja only. So there is no contradiction between the Kathopanishad Shruti and Purana Vakyas. Actually, this discussion is essentially because we quoted the Kathopanishad Shruti. Between this and the Puranas, there is no contradiction. That is what is being established. Let us go to the next sutra. Vidya karmanoho iti tu prakritatvat. Vidya karmanoho iti tu prakritatvat. 17th Brahma Sutra, first pada, third chapter, 308th running Brahma Sutra. And in this sutra, Vyasacharya answers a doubt which may arise based on the second Shruti Pramanam that we quoted in the beginning. Whether adharmic people travel by Krishna Gati is our question. So they will travel is a Purvapakshi's contention, but Siddhanta says adharmic people will go to lower loka only as quoted from Chandogya and Kathopanishad. So up to the last sutra, Vyasacharya analyzed Kathopanishad mantra. Here Vyasacharya is going to discuss the Chandogya Upanishad Pramana. And this mantra says those people who do not go through these two paths, what are the two paths? Krishna Gati and Shukla Gati, two paths, they will go through a third path. Actually, I mentioned this briefly in the last class. So Chandogya Upanishad, fifth chapter, 10th mantra, 10th section, 8th mantra. Atha etayoho patoho na katarena cha na tani imani kshudrani asakrit avartini bhutani bhavanti. Jayasva mriyasva ityetatim tritiyagum sthanam. Tritiyagum sthanam tena asau loko na sampuryate tasmatim jugupsetam tadesha shlokaha. That is that mantra, 5.10.8. So we translated the two paths as what? As Shukla Gati and Krishna Gati. So those who do not take these two gatis, they will go through Adho Gati to Yamaloka. Now Purvapakshi says, why not these two mean Krishna Gati and Shukla Gati and Adho Gati meaning for the third if they refer to Krishna Gati and Shukla Gati? He asks, how you arrived at the above meaning? He asks this question. For that Vyasacharya says, when you do not know the meaning of the pronoun, you get the meaning by context. So prakarana pramanena, there is a prakarana pramanam. So sarvanama shabdaha, sarvanama artaha nyayate. There is a prakarana pramanena. So when you have pronouns. So the biggest mahavakyam that we all know is tattvamasi. We have only pronouns. This mahavakyam has all the three pronouns. So how do you arrive at the meaning of tat? It is from tat is equal to Sat in Chandogya Upanishad. So you go to Chandogya Upanishad to understand the meaning of Tat as Sat. Tvam Asi, Tvam Asi means Sat Tvam Asi. And Tvam refers to Chit. So Tat Chit Asi. So the pronoun can be deciphered with the help of Prakarana. In Chandogya, in the previous sutra, Shukla Gati has been elaborately talked about. So the first Devata said as part of Shukla Gati is Archihi. Then other devatas. So the Upanishad also mentioned this Shukla Gati is taken by Upasakas, not Karmis, Upasakas. So with Shraddha, if a person practices Saguna Brahma Upasana, that is called Vidya here. In this mantra, Vidya refers to the one who practices Saguna Brahma Upasana. Saguna Upasana Marga is called Shukla Gati. So those who practice Yajnas, Yagas and all that, Karma Marga, they are called Krishna Gati. So Upasana Marga leads to Shukla Gati and Karma Marga leads to Krishna Gati. So after introducing these two Margas, these two ways, the Upanishad mentions those who do not practice Upasana and Karma will get Adogati, other than Krishna Gati and Shukla Gati. Now let us see the word analysis of this sutra. The sutra is what? Vidya Karmanaha. Vidya refers to Shukla Gati, people Upasakas, and Karmanaha, Karmis, Iti Thum Prakritatvat. There is a sutra. Vidya Karmanoho. The path of Upasana and Karma. All those people who follow the path of Upasana are Karma. Iti. That is the meaning of the word. Yetayoho. Yetayoho, the original mantra from Chandogya that we just read. So Prakritatvat. Since they are the topic of discussion. So this is the running meaning. Now let us see the significance of these words. Vidya Karmanoho. Vidya Marga and Karma Marga. Vidya Marga is Upasana Marga, as I told earlier. So the Marga, which is the Vidya Phala. So Vidya Karma Phala is either Shukla Gati or Krishna Gati. And this is the meaning of the pronoun Yetayoho, which occurs in the 5th chapter, 10th section, 8th mantra of Chandogya Upanishad. That is the mantra Atha Yetayoho Patoho. That mantra that we just read. So in the Upanishad, Yetayoho is in the 6th case. So therefore, Vyasacharya uses the word Vidya Karmanoho. Yetayoho is equal to Vidya Karmanoho. Ityartha. So this is the meaning. Prakritatvat. That is the prakaranam which we come to know from the previous sutra. Now let us go to the next sutra. Na trithiye tatopalabdehe. Na trithiye tatopalabdehe. 18th Sutra, 1st Pada, 3rd Chapter, 309th Running Brahma Sutra. First, let us do the general analysis of this sutra. Here, Vyasacharya says, the third path, known as Adogati, mentioned in Chandogya Upanishad, the 5 stages are not involved. And they are involved in Manushya Janma only. They are Swargaloka, Panja, Panjagni Vidya, all the 5 stages are what? Swarga, Megha, Bhumi, Manushya and Nari, Purusha Nari. So this is experienced by us and all the Jivarasis are not born in the same method. This is only for Manushya Janma. The reproduction is not similar in all living beings. The Jivarasis are classified into 4 types. What are those? In some cases, number one, in some cases, the father, mother, male, female mating is not involved. When the jivas come down from Swargaloka, the jala shariram, the apa shariram gets converted to soma shariram. And then soma shariram gets converted into vrishti, the rainy waters. Then the vrishti falls down on the earth and the water pool is there all over. And according to Shastra, mosquitoes are seen to be the moisture-born beings. So in the case of those insects, they do not go through all the 5 stages at all. So from vrishti, from rainwaters, they become the prani and they do not go through the 3rd, 4th, and 5th conversions. Therefore, in the case of insects, we don't have all the 5 stages. And the another type of jivarasis, when vrishti jalam falls on earth, plants are born. And when coming out through earth, they become plant kingdom. So vrishti annam conversion does not take place in case of plant kingdom. They are beings born by breaking open the earth. So the plant jivas come out in the form of trees. Plants do not have the 4th and 5th stage of conversion. So the previous one, mosquitoes and all, they didn't have 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Now plant kingdom, they didn't have 4th and 5th stage of conversion. 4th and 5th is Purusha Nari. So this is the Shastric approach. So even if you study locally, without the help of Shastra, we know several things are born without going through the 5 stages. In some pranis, males themselves become pregnant and give birth to babies. In the case of certain plants, when we take the branch of the tree, the next plant is born and we do not see several stages at all. Therefore, we cannot apply 5 stages, Panja Agnim, in the case of all the living beings. This is the essence of the sutra. Now let us see the word analysis. Na tritiye tatopalabdehe. That is the sutra. Na tritiye. So 5 stages are not relevant with regard to the third path. 5 stages. Third path is what? Adogati. Tatopalabdehe, since it is known from the Shruti. Now let us see the significance of the words. Na. Na means not there. It means the 5 stages are not there in the third path, Adogati, which is other than Krishna Gati and Shukla Gati. Tatopalabdehe, that is seen, or Pratyaksha Anubhava Pramanam is there, or Shastra Pramanam is there. And Shankaracharya takes the Shastra Pramanam, so he gives the quotation from the 5th chapter, 10th section, 8th mantra of Chandogya that we just saw. So by saying these words, born and gone, they refer to those things which are instantaneously born and gone with short period of life. We know a lot of jivarasis, they are just born and just gone. It does not refer to the human being. In English, we call it mushroom growth. This is some kind of usage. They do not have time for 5 stages at all. So if you remember Kathopanishad, it is said like mushroom, things are born and gone. So the instantaneousness indicates the absence of the 5 stages mentioned in the Panjagni Vidya. Then the Purvapakshi, he raises a question. If the 5 stages are not there, then how come Chandogya Upanishad 5th chapter, 3rd section, 3rd mantra says that the rudimentary body becomes the full-fledged body only in the 5th stage? If you remember all those mantras, those sections which already saw, at the time of death, this is the rudimentary, very minute, that subtle body, physical body comes, all that we have stored. So here you say 5 stages are not required. And if you ask, Shankaracharya, he answers, the word Purusha represents Manushya Shariram only. The word Purusha, among the 5 stages, Purusha and Nari, Purusha represents only Manushya Shariram only. The rudimentary body is to be converted into Manushya Sharira. So it has to undergo 5 stages, if that has to be done. In other cases, 5 stages are not required. So if a Manushya Shariram should be born, it has to go to 5 stages. Otherwise, the other stages are not required. So previous sutra refers to Manushya Janma, and here it refers to, in this sutra, it refers to other cases other than Manushya Janma. As I told you, insects, plants and all. Tatha upalabdehe, that is found in the Chandogya itself, chapter mantra, which we just quoted. Let us go to the next sutra. Smaryate apicha loke. Smaryate apicha loke. 19th sutra, first pada, 3rd chapter, 310th running Brahma Sutra. So the argument commenced in the sutra 17 to refute the objections of Purvapakshi in sutra 12, that is continued here. Here, Vyasacharya says, even in the case of human beings, Manushya Janma, this rule of 5 stages is only a general rule. And there are exceptions here, as we see in the Puranas. Manushyas, they require 5 stages, correct? That means they are womb born, born out of the wombs, through the wombs. Anything born out of the mother's womb is called Jarayujam. There are specific terms for all that. And in the case of human beings, 5 stages are mentioned in the previous sutra. And there are exceptions even in the case of human beings. For example, if you take in the Puranas, Drishtadyumna, a Mahabharata character. Drishtadyumna was born out of Homakunda without undergoing 5 stages from Agni. He was not regularly born through the father-mother combination. Similarly, Draupadi, Sita, they are all born with exceptional different backgrounds. Therefore, 5 stages are only samples and not meant for all jivarasis. There are exceptions as revealed by the Puranas. So 5 stages should be read as for some jivas and not for all jivas. Now let us see the word analysis. Smaryate apicha loke. Api cha loke means birth of the people of the world, all those who are born in the world, without going through the five stages, smaryate is known through smritis. So birth of people without going through the five stages in the world are known through these smritis. This is the running meaning. Now let us see the significance of the words. Smaryate means shruti pramane. The shruti pramanam is there, by which all the smritis also like Mahabharata, Ramayana, they are all taken, Puranas. And in the case of some sages also, rishis, Lord directly entered the womb of the mother, loke, drishtadyumna jiva, that is an example, in this world. And they are the special cases of birth without going through the panchagni, the five stages. So five stages, they are not compulsory for all jivarasis. That is astarsha. For upasana and for vairagya siddhyartham, five stages are mentioned in Chandogya Upanishad. It is only for that purpose. It is not a generalization. There are exceptions. Let us go to the next sutra. Darshanachya. Darshanachya, 28th sutra, first pada, third chapter, 311th Brahma Sutra. The argument again that commences in Sutra 17 is continued again. Having given the Shruti and Smriti Pramanam, the Anubhava Pramanam is given here in this Sutra. So as the word, in word the word that the Anubhava, Anubhava Pramanena Darshanath, the word Darshanath, it indicates Anubhava Pramanena Darshanath. So Pratyaksha Pramanam in this case is Jivarasis are classified into four types, as I mentioned earlier. So four types of Jivarasis, they are mentioned in the 18th Sutra. That can be taken for this Sutra also. And what are the four types of Jivarasis we mentioned? One is Jarayujam, womb born beings, humans and all. Then Andajam, egg born beings, birds, reptiles, those kinds of things. Udbijam, earth born beings, the plants and all that. Finally, Shvedajam, moisture born, insects, microorganisms, those kinds of things. So these are the four categories of Jivarasis. And the third and fourth types, they do not have fourth and fifth stages as we see in the human birth. Fourth and fifth stages of what? Panjagni. So the Udbijam, the earth born beings like plants and all, and also Shvedajam, the microorganisms and all, they don't go through the fourth and fifth stages, the Purusha and Nari, that stage. As we see in human birth. And in the case of microorganisms also, they are born without any five stages. This is the general analysis.
There's also
Darshanachya, from observation also. This is not from observation also, this is not Darshanachya. That means what? The five stages are not compulsory for all the jivarasis. Now let us see the significance of the words. Darshanath. Darshanath means seeing or observation or pratyaksha pramanath. Shankaracharya takes the 18th sutra as Shruti Pramana sutra and the 20th sutra as Pratyaksha Pramana sutra. Cha, the word cha, joins all the three sutras, 18, 19 and 20. Cha means in addition to Shruti and Smriti, there is Pratyaksha Pramanam also. Now let us go to the next sutra. Tritiya Shabda Avarodaha Samshokajasya. Tritiya Shabda Avarodaha Samshokajasya. This is the 21st Sutra, first Pada, third chapter, 312th running Brahma Sutra. Again, this argument comes in Sutra 17 to refute the objections in Sutra 12 is continued again. So I'm just only mentioning this to reveal the continuity. Here Vyasacharya, the continuity of context. Here Vyasacharya solves an incidental doubt in this sutra. While dealing with Darshanath, he pointed out there are four types of Jivarasis and two of them do not have five stages, microorganisms, plants and all that. And how do we know the division? This is mentioned in Aitareya Upanishad. In the third chapter, first mantra, it says, itarani cha, andajani cha, jarujani cha, swedajani cha, udbijani cha. It mentions there in that mantra. It's a long mantra. We only took the relevant portion. Now the doubt that comes is, the types of jivarasis is mentioned in Chandogya Upanishad also, where only three types are mentioned. In mantra 6.3.1 of Chandogya, it says, Tesham kalu, tesham kalvesham bhutanam, trinyeva bijani bhavanti, trinyeva, only three types, bijani bhavanti, andajam, jivajam, udbidjamiti. So that is the mantra. So in this portion, andajam is same as andajam as given in Aitreya Upanishad. Jivajam is also the womb bond. Udbidjam also is earth bond. But Swedajam is not mentioned in Chandogya. So Vyasacharya solves this problem by saying that in Chandogya Upanishad, the fourth one is implied. And therefore you supply the fourth one, what is the one? Swedajam. And Vyasacharya says, you cannot just supply, you should have reason also. So Vyasacharya says, the word udbijam can be interpreted in two ways. Thereby two types of jivarasis can be taken. So earth breaking open or penetrating upwards refers to plant kingdom. When you plant a seed in the earth, when the seed sprouts, it breaks open the earth and then comes out. So that is where you interpret that word. So earth breaking open or penetrating towards upwards, this first would be planting. And in the second, this is one. In the second interpretation, wood is taken as udakam. Udakam means water. So bitva jayate iti udbijam is one. And udakam refers to moisture. Whatever is born out of moisture is insects, microorganisms, insects and all. So because it now refers to both, insects and also plant kingdom, one word itself, so you don't have to eat. Swedajam is also included. So all the four beings are included, and therefore there is no contradiction. That is what Vyasacharya's assertion. Now let us see the word analysis of this sutra. So Tritiya Shabda Avarodaha Samshoka Jasya. That is the sutra. Tritiya Shabda Avarodaha Samshoka Jasya. So Tritiya Shabda Avarodaha Samjosaka means beings born of moisture is to be included in the third expression, Udbijam itself, occurring in the Chandogya statement. That is what this sutra declares that. Now let us see the significance of the words. Tritiya Shabda Avarodaha, the third expression, that is the three are interpreted as Udbijam. That is the third expression that is to be Avarodaha, inclusion. In the third expression, inclusion of Swedajam is included in that. Samshokajasya, here refers to Swedajam, the moisture bond being is included in the third expression, Udbijam itself. That is Vyasacharya's contention. So it should be done with the expression of Udbijam itself. So there is no contradiction between Chandogya and the other mantra. With this, the third adhikaranam is also over. And in this adhikaranam, the Tritiya Gati, or Papa Karmi is established. Tritiya Gati is Adogati is established for the Papa Karmis. Now let us go to the fourth adhikaranam. Sabhavyapatyadhikaranam. Tat sabhavyaha apatihi upapattehe. That is the sutra. Tat sabhavya apatihi upapattehe. Third chapter, first pada, 22nd sutra, 313th running Brahma Sutra. So let us do the general analysis of the sutra first. This is a small adhikarana with only one sutra. Previous one was a big sutra adhikarana. This is a small sutra, small adhikarana. And the topic here talks about the ritualists. Ritualistic people, they go to Swargaloka, going to Swargaloka is talked about, and then coming down in a particular path after exhausting Punyakarma. Because of Punyakarma, they go to Swargaloka. They stay there for some time, enjoy the Swargaloka comforts. And after exhausting the Punya Karma, they come back through a particular path. So Prarabdha can be either Punyam or Papam, depending upon the karma, that Jiva comes through certain particular stages. And the Upanishad gives a long statement as to how they descend. Going up, they don't talk. When they come down, how they descend, it says. Mantra, fifth, Chandogya mantra, fifth chapter, 10th section, fifth mantra, and the sixth mantra, both of them, they talk about this. Tasmin yavat sampatam ushitva ataitam evadvanam పునర్నివర్తంతే యథేతం ఆకాశం ఆకాశాత్ వాయుం వాయుర్భూత్వా ధూమో భవతి ధూమో భూత్వా అభ్రం భవతి అభ్రం భూత్వా మేఘో భవతి మేఘో భూత్వా ప్రవర్షతి తైః వ్రీహీ యవా ఓషధి వనస్పతయః తిల్ తిల మాషా ఇతి జాయంతే అతో వై ఖలు దుర్నిష్ప్రపతరం యో యోహి అన్నమత్తి యో రేతః సించతి తద్భూయే భూయేవ భవతి. దీస్ ఆర్ ద టూ మంత్రాస్. So having dwelt there means what? Swargaloka. Having dwelt there as long as there is punya, they returned again by that course by which they come to space. So they pass through akasha, akasha to vayu, from vayu to smoke, dhumaha, from smoke to mist, from mist to the rain, rain-bearing clouds, from cloud to raining clouds, from raining clouds to rains. From the water they enter plant kingdom. And they become vegetables and thus enter the father's body, Purusha's body, and then to mother's body. And then the Upanishad says, having become Vayu, it becomes Dhumaha. So Upanishad uses the word arrival and then it says it becomes. It says it becomes, it says arrival and then says it becomes. Then does that means it comes to Vayu or it becomes Vayu? Comes to Vayu means arrives to Vayu. It becomes Vayu means changes to Vayu. Similarly, others also. Since Upanishad uses the word Vayu Bhutva, we have to take it as becoming cloud. Smoke, mist and all that thing by Bhutva. And Siddhanta says, it does not become. It cannot become. If it becomes, there's a problem. We'll see. And Siddhanta Vedantin, he says, it does not become, even though Upanishad says Bhutva, it should not be taken as becoming, but it appears so. It is not becoming, but it only is a semblance, resemblance. That alone is logically possible. Jiva cannot become Akasha because of various reasons which we know. If Jiva becomes Akasha, then what will happen? Further stages are not possible. Jiva cannot become Akasha, then he cannot become any other thing. One thing can never become another thing. X can never become Y. One thing is one thing because of its property. Another thing can be another thing because of its property. One should give up one's property and assume the other's property to become that. Then question is what? If one thing becomes another by taking up another set of properties, whether it gives up intrinsic property or incidental property, because everything has got either intrinsic property, intrinsic and incidental properties, both everyone has. So if a person says it gives up incidental property, that is not acceptable. By giving up the incidental property, one cannot become the other person, other thing. For example, the hair is lost, which is very common to all of us. If the hair is lost, the hair is the incidental property that is given up when it is lost. You do not take or compare with another person. A fat person can become a lean person. Incidental property change does not mean the change of the subject, the person. But by giving up the intrinsic property, this incidental property, by changing, giving up the intrinsic property, a thing can become another, if you say. Then Shankaracharya says that is also not possible. Because the definition of intrinsic property is what? A thing cannot give up that property. It is intrinsic. Fire cannot give away its property of heat. It is intrinsic. It is its dharma. In fact, if intrinsic property is given up, substance itself will disappear. Substance cannot disappear because a thing cannot, nothing can be destroyed. It can become another form. The final law is what? A thing can never become another. It is logically not possible. Jiva cannot become Akasha. If this were the case, Chetanam also will become Achetanam. Sentient things can become insentient and otherwise vice versa. That is not possible. This is going to be Siddhantin's assertion. Now let us see the general analysis of this sutra. Tat sabhavya apattihi upapattehe. Tat sabhavya apattihi upapattehe. That is the sutra. Tat sabhavya apattihi means jiva's assumption of various forms. similar to them is implied in the Shruti. Jiva's assumption of various forms similar to them is implied in the Shruti. Upapattehe, since that is logical, that is assumed. Now we will give the significance of the words. Tat sabhavya apattihi, tat refers to various stages. And sabhavyam refers to semblance, resemblance. Jiva has resemblance to akasha, vayu, in the sense of subtlety. Akasha, vayu, in the sense of subtlety. They are subtle. Apatthi means assumption or transformation. So we take this meaning by compromising the Upanishad word. We take this particular meaning because Upanishad says becomes. But we take this meaning because it's compromising the Upanishad word. We have reason for that. The primary meaning of becoming, we compromise and we say it resembles or is similar to akasha, vayu and all that. We don't say it becomes akasha, vayu. So for upapattehe, that is the reasonable interpretation. We cannot interpret in any other way. So figurative interpretation alone is reasonable. Now let us go to the next adhikarana. Nam atichirena visheshat. Natichirena visheshat. 23rd Sutra, first Pada, third chapter, 314th running Brahma Sutra. Now let us give a general introduction and then general analysis adhikaranam, this particular adhikaranam, and then give a general analysis of the sutra, just to give a basic background and concept. So this adhikaranam also has only one sutra. Here Vyasacharya answers one question that may arise in our mind because of curiosity, especially regarding what happens after death. Everybody is curious to know. That's why Vyasacharya knows this very well. So what happens after death? And it is based on the mantras from Chandogya, the mantras that we read, the 5th chapter, 10th section, 5th mantra and 6th mantra, where it is said that Jiva comes to Akasha, resembling Akasha and all that. Just now we read. Then Jiva comes down through the water, resembling water. Then the Upanishad says, thereafterwards, the Jiva becomes the plant kingdom. Now the curiosity is what that may come to our mind is, as to how long it takes for the Jiva to travel from one stage to another stage. This is in Panchagni. In Panchagni Vidya, we are now asking the question, how long it takes for the Jiva to travel from one stage to another stage. And it is the duration in each state the Jiva takes while moving from one state to another. That is the discussion. And the Purvapakshi says the duration is unpredictable. That is his answer. The duration is unpredictable. And Vyasacharya says there is some predictability. The Upanishad does not mention the time up to the stage of rains, doesn't mention. From plant kingdom, father, mother, all that thing, coming out to the next stage is difficult. From plant kingdom to father, to mother, that is difficult. It is from rainy water onwards, it is difficult. So Swargaloka, Megha, then rainy waters comes to earth. From then onwards, it is difficult. Because it says the later state is difficult by implication. The previous stages are quickly gone, but this is by implication. So the expression in this connection is, it is difficult to emerge through at later stages. First stages are fine. This is the essence of this sutra. Now let us see the word analysis. Na atichirena viseshat. Atichirena, Jiva crosses the initial stages within a short time, na atichirena. So the Jiva crosses the initial stages within a short time, not too long. Viseshat, this is understood from this specific expression occurring in the Shruti, in the Veda Mantra, Upanishad. Now let us give the significance of the words. The first expression is what? Natichirena, not very long. Natichirena, not very long. Which means what? It is short. That is, Jiva passes through the initial stages in a short period. What are the initial stages? Swarga, Megha, that kind of things. Viseshat, This is known from the specific expression in Chandogya Shruti, 5th chapter, 10th section, 6th mantra. The stages after rainy water, they are more difficult to pass through. So if the rain falls on the earth, only the jiva can pass that stage. Only when the rain falls on earth, the jiva can pass that stage, right? If the rain falls on the ocean, there is no chance of a jiva, manushya jiva we are talking. There is no chance of the jiva passing to next stage. The water falls only in the ocean. So even if it falls on the land also, the thing should fall on the eatable plant. It should, if it falls on the desert, no use. So then only the manushya can eat it. So it should be an eatable plant. Then which type of human it should enter? It should be eaten by the person, purusha, not just any female. A purusha should eat it first. Therefore, it should reach a male human being, and then it should reach the woman through the male. In the case, see the jiva, we are talking about jiva. Of course, everybody takes food. It should reach the male human being first, and then it should reach through him to the woman, through the male. And in the case of males also, there are four ashramas. Brahmachari ashrama, grihastha ashrama, vanaprastha ashrama, sannyasa ashrama. So it should be consumed by a jiva. He should come to human grihastha ashrama of comparatively young age also. A grihastha at a later age, it is not useful. So a grihastha at young age, a human, a male, that person, that ready to father a child, that person should take that food. Thus, the stages from rain onwards are difficult. Those three stages. Now, let us go to the next adhikarana. Anyadishtita adhikarana. Anya adhishtite purvavat abhilabhat. That is the sutra. Anya adhishtite purvavat abhilabhat. This is the 24th sutra, first pada, third chapter. 315th running Brahma Sutra. So the discussion on the way of descent of the individual soul, individual jiva, is now continued here also. First, let us give the general introduction to this adhikaranam also with four sutras, slightly bigger adhikaranam than the previous one. So this is the sixth and the final adhikaranam of the first pada of third chapter. Here the siddhanta that is going to be arrived at is what? Through panchagni vidya, the Upanishad points out, jiva goes to heaven, swarga, then megha, then rain, food, male and female. So these are the things. So that is the process through which the jiva gets the full form, full-fledged form. Once food enters the human male, we know already jiva has one body. This is an interesting discussion. When the food enters the human male, we already know that jiva has a body. And after consumption of food, what happens? An external traveling jiva enters male body at a later stage. After he consumes the food, the thing that has gone through Sargaloka, Megha, coming to earth, become a plant kingdom, and from the plant he takes the food. So there is that other external jiva. So original jiva is the male body. And the later stage, another traveling jiva comes. We can call it guest jiva, let us say. One is host jiva. Original jiva we call the host jiva, the identifying with the body. That is called the host jiva. And the guest jiva comes from heaven, megha, rain, and all that through plants to male body. So the difference between the host jiva and guest jiva is what? At the time of conception, the guest jiva gets transferred to the mother. Guest jiva goes to the mother. When guest jiva enters the mother, the story is the same because mother also has got the host jiva, her body, and the guest jiva enters into her as in the case of the male. So here also we see a guest and host jiva in the mother also. So the guest of father jiva has become guest of mother jiva. And that jiva stays there for about 10 months. And develops itself into a full-fledged body and comes out, and that we call it as a baby. So this is the guest jiva became baby. So the difference between the two jivas is what? The host jiva alone will have abhimana with the body. Deha abhimana is for what? The host jiva. with the body because of karmas. I have deha abhimana because of karmas. Similarly, the host jiva will have the abhimana with the female body also, and that abhimana is also caused by karma of the female. So when the guest jiva enters the body, it is not connected with karma, and therefore guest jiva does not have abhimana with male or female body. It doesn't have abhimana with the male or female. It is going to have its own body later, and it will have abhimana with that. But when it is inside the male body or female body, it doesn't have abhimana with those bodies. If both the guest and host, divas, they have abhimana, then both will have abhimana with the body. So many karma complications will come. So the guest jiva occupies the body, and it does not have abhimana of that body. Sharira Abhimana Jiva and Sharira Antargada Jiva are two things. Sharira Antargada Jiva, the one that is inside the body, is the guest jiva, guest body. Sharira Abhimana Jiva is the host body. So suppose there is some wound or some injury, let us say, on the father or the mother. This pain caused by the physical wound will go to which jiva? Sharira Antargada Jiva or Sharira Abhimana Jiva? Sharira Abhimana Jiva only. The Shastra says, Sharira Abhimana Jiva alone will suffer pains and pleasure. The guest jiva will not suffer because of the problems of the guest house in the form of male or female. So male or female are guest house for the guest jiva. So it suffers sukham and dukkham only when it takes its own body after birth. So the full-fledged jiva comes at the end of the fifth stage of Panjagni. And that jiva then only starts experiencing the sukham and dukham. So the Upanishad wants to extend this to the tree body also. Because plant kingdom. In the plant also, there are two jivas. There is the original tree, the tree jiva. One is the Vrikshabhimani jiva, which has come because of Punya Papas. And within the plant, there is an Abhimani jiva, Vrikshabhimani jiva. And the jiva that enters is not Abhimani jiva from the Panjagni. So in Panjagni, when we talk in the plant, we talk of Antargada jiva and not Abhimani jiva. Antargada jiva is not Abhimani jiva. And this jiva occupies the plant temporarily. It's like guest jiva. And with rudimentary human body. It has the rudimentary human body. We should not forget that. It occupies the plant. And then rudimentary body goes to the male. Purusha, and then to female before taking the full-fledged human body. So this is Siddhanta Vyasacharya wants to establish in this sutra, in this adhikarana. So the jiva occupying the tree during the third stage of Panjagni Vidya, Swarga, Mega, tree, Panjagni Vidya in the earth, is an Antargada jiva and not Abhimani jiva. So once you say it is Antargada Jiva, the corollary is what? Whatever sukham and dukkham we get through plant body will not belong to Antargada traveling Jiva. But it will belong to another Jiva, which is an Abhimana Jiva, which we call it as host Jiva. So for this, Purva Pakshi, he comes now and he says, the Shastra does not make it clear between Abhimani Jiva and Antargada Jiva. So what is the Upanishadic statement that contributes to this confusion? He quotes from Chandogya. Chandogya, 5th chapter, 10th section, 6th mantra that we already saw. The verb jayate, jayante is there. That contributes to the conclusion. Abram bhutva mego bhavati, mego bhutva parvarshati, taiha vrihi yava oshadi vanaspataya, thila, thil, thila masha iti jayante. So that word jayante, while talking about the third stage of jiva, from the earth it comes in contact with the plant as guest jiva. However, the Upanishad says that jiva is born as plants and trees, jayante. In fact, there will not be Panchagni itself. After heaven, cloud and earth, if jiva is born as plants, it will cross only after the three stages. It is going to be born after two stages without identifying as plants and without going through the sukham and dukkham of plants. Plants and all that, plant kingdom. And then it comes to the fourth stage of the male and female body, fourth stage. So the verb jayante should be used now. When it comes there only, the verb jayante should be used. The verb jayanti must be translated here as temporary residence of plants without suffering the pleasure and pains of the plant body. The verb jayanti should not be only in the for the Purusha Nari case, jayanti should come. Here it should be taken only as translated as a temporary residence of plants. Jayante verb should be taken as lakshyartha samsarga prapti and not janma prapti. Visheha is jayant. And the doubt is what? Whether jayante means becoming an abhimani jiva or antargada jiva. And Purvapakshi says abhimani jiva ha bhavati, and it is a birth in the form of a plant. Plant is not a vehicle, but it is only an ayatanam. The logic for this is what? That the plant is not, is the, that the verb jayante has got the mukhya artha abhimana jiva. So primary meaning and any other meaning, if there are there, mukhya artham only is strong. So he also gives another logic for that. And he says, these jivas who come through the five stages, they have gone to Swargaloka by Krishna Gati. That passage, because of their Vedic rituals. Another one small interesting point I will just say before I conclude today. Of course, we have a few more minutes. Krishna Gati passage, because of their Vedic rituals, Upasakas would have given them what? Shukla Gati. If they are Upasana, would have given them for Upasakas. But Vedic rituals means here only all the yagas and yajnas. Vedic rituals are wonderful. They are punya karmas, all right. But what happens? Since they involve animal sacrifice, it has a mixture of papams also because of pashu himsa. This is very subtle. Even though Vedic ritual, yajnas, yagas are all wonderful karmas, they give a lot of punyam, people can go to Swargaloka and all also with all that. But since they involve animal sacrifice, it has mixture of papams also because of pashu himsa. And because of punya karma, he goes to Swargaloka. Later, he may, because of the punya karma acquired by that yaga, he will go to Swargaloka, all right. But later, he may become a human being also, all right. But before becoming a human form, he must become a plant or some other lower bajivarasi because of the pashu himsa involved in the animal sacrifice. So it is a birth as a plant, suffers for a short while, and then comes to male body, female body, etc. It is natural justice. Shastra says this is natural justice. This is Purvapakshi's argument. Siddhanta says that there is no birth as plants at all. He is not born as a plant at all. This jiva coming through Panjagni stages is not born as plants, and it only travels through the plant body without going through the pleasure and pains of the plant body, male body and of the female body. So when it gathers its own bhoga shariram, after it is born, it will experience sukham and dukkham. That is what Siddhanti says. We will see the details in the next class. Yo veda dau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakritilina saya para samaheshwara purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vasishyate om shanti shanti shantihi shri gurubhyo namaha harihi om shri krishna namaste.